And now to Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, which is now largely liberated from Russian control following a stunning counteroffensive by Ukrainian forces. The city still faces big challenges. Shelling continued today, killing at least three people, while bombings throughout the region are hitting residential areas and infrastructure, knocking out power, water, and public transportation. Maria Avdayeva has been in Kharkiv throughout the war. She's an analyst who's been keeping us up to date with the situation there. And Maria, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you. This is good to talk to you.
Maria, last time we spoke to you in early May, you'd been injured by a Russian shelling incident. You described the attack as something called double tapping, where the Russians would bomb, then wait a short while for people to return to the buildings, and then bomb again. How are you doing, first of all?
I'm good since that I'm continuing covering the war and the full-scale Russian invasion. I have been traveling a lot throughout the Ukraine, close to the front lines on the south and here on the east, and have the possibility to talk to military and civilians who suffer from this war. I have been working nonstop since May.
So tell us about the situation in Kharkiv now, Maria, following the recent counteroffensive. Are Russian troops gone? And what are you seeing on the ground?
This astonishing success of Ukrainian armed forces that pushed Russian out of the territory that was occupied for 6 months is striking, and people are happy to see it. Ukrainian armed forces made it to the border on the north of Kharkiv. So today, President Zelensky announced that 300 settlements were liberated. This is fantastic news, but on the other hand, Russia continues to terrorize civilians. And now it seems its tactic is to create humanitarian crisis. Several days ago, Russia hit the second largest power plant in Ukraine, which is located near Kharkiv, about 8 p.m. in the evening. Two people were killed at the power plant station, and now no electricity is in the city. No electricity means no water and no internet connection. The metro was shut down today in the morning. I've been to the metro station, and of course, for the second largest Ukrainian city, no metro, which was not only a very convenient, but also the only safe mean of transportation around the city. This is a big problem. And it's quite cold outside, so people will have problems with all of this, and they are already suffering.
I see. And your view is that Russia is deliberately trying to create a humanitarian crisis there.
This is absolutely obvious. This is what the tactic is. And not only one power plant was hit, but four others. At the same evening, nine other missiles were going to hit power plants around Ukraine, and they were shut down by Ukrainian air defense system. So it means that Russians were trying to hit multiple power plants or other infrastructural objects around Ukraine. And also this all means that the transportation is limited because all of this needs electricity.
I see. Maria, you've also been tweeting about Russian landmines that were left in residential areas in the region. You said that some nearby towns can't allow people to return.
Yes, after the Ukrainian armed forces liberate some area, the second team who comes in are deminers, and the area is so large that deminer teams from Kyiv are coming to help, and locals are not allowed to return yet because this is too dangerous for them. And it's hard to say when it will be cleared. Just today, there was a news that three people exploded on a mine in one of the liberated settlements. So this will be a persistent problem. And it says that the area is more mined than any other area that was liberated.
I see. So big challenges remain. Despite all these challenges, is there a sense of optimism at all? Is there a sense that somehow the momentum in the war has shifted? Is there even a sense of joy among Kharkiv's residents that Russian troops are gone.
Absolutely. This is the feeling of happiness and joy. And people, even suffering without electricity and water, tell that this will not break them down and Russian tactics is not working. And they praise Ukrainian armed forces for this success. And Ukrainian armed forces managed to get control over very important transport hubs, cutting off the lines of supply for Russian troops in Donbas, which is also a very important in military means. All of this means for people here in Kharkiv that we see the change and we see that the victory and the push is possible, because there was a stalemate for several months, and now we see the line is moving so fast, the front line, and people, of course, are happy to see it.
Sure. One more question, Maria, about Kharkiv. I'm wondering if people who might have fled Kharkiv are beginning to come back. And if they do start to come back, what are they coming back to? What do you need in order to rebuild?
Well, the situation is still very difficult. No schools opened this September in Kharkiv, so families with children tend to stay out of the city. Several days in a row, the city was heavily shelled, and there are very few people outside. It's still too dangerous. So mainly those adults who need to come, who have special reason to come back, they return. Or if they are running out of funds and don't have any possibility to live in any other place, are returning. So now Kharkiv looks like a frontline city with a lot of military on the streets. You feel that the war zone is still very close. Only 10% of the businesses is still working in the city. No cafes, no restaurants, no small shops. So the city looks very deadly, especially during the evening hours when there is a complete blackout. Mm-hmm. And of course, the feeling is very eerie in the city.
Well, that's Maria Avdayeva talking to us from Kharkiv in eastern Ukraine, where she's been throughout the war. Maria, thanks so much for that update. Good luck to you. Please stay safe.
Thank you. It was my pleasure to talk to you.